All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves once again. First of all, there are sheets. If anyone needs, there are sheets in the back and sheets in the front. We began last week, Kapitel Tezayin, Kapitel 16. And just a quick recap. Again, remember, as we pointed out in the beginning, as our first shiur last week of this particular semester. So he pointed out the idea that in order to appreciate the particular capital of Tehillim, someone has to understand two things. Of course, one has to understand the meaning of the words. One has to understand what it is that David HaMelech is trying to convey. But in order to really understand the full impact of the Davidic message in any particular chapter of Psalms, one also has to understand the context. So one thing that we saw last week already is that this particular capital is coming in the midst of incredible internal struggle for David HaMelech. What that struggle was, we saw different opinions. Rav Hirsch had his approach of David HaMelech for some reason struggled with some level of understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam, but the approach that we went with last week was David HaMelech was struggling with the nature and condition of the, or I should say, the nature of the human condition. That David HaMelech said, Nichtam, even though I've tried so hard to become a Mach, to become a Tam, I've tried so hard and made so many advances in accomplishing and becoming the kind of person that I want to be, and I thought when I would reach those particular accomplishments, when I reach those particular levels, I wouldn't have to struggle as much. And David HaMelech finds, much to his surprise and disappointment, that no matter what he does, no matter what he accomplishes, no matter how much he grows, the struggle continues. Not only that, but sometimes it appears in the eyes of David HaMelech that the greater you become and the more you accomplish, the more acute and intense the actual challenges become. And that's why David HaMelech ultimately says, Michtam LeDavid, despite the fact that I've become a Mach, that I've become a Tam, despite the fact that I've become humble, that I've become complete, nevertheless, I realize how vulnerable I am, how prone I am to life's challenges, and therefore, Shamrini Kelki Chasisivach, I can't stand on my own, and therefore I'm not just asking you to go ahead and watch me, but I'm telling you that I need to take refuge in you. I cannot protect myself from the realities and vicissitudes of life, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need your help. That becomes the theme then of the rest of the capital. And what David HaMelech then goes on to really explain is to highlight some of those particular challenges. But what I'd like to do today is focus on one pasuk. If you look at number one on your sheet, you'll see it's the pasuk that I underlined, pasuk Ches, where David HaMelech says, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somid, ki mimini bal emot. David HaMelech says, literally, I have placed the Lord before me constantly, because He is at my right hand, I will not falter. So this, again, seems to, the reason why I skipped to this particular pasuk is because, you'll read on your own psukim beis through Zion, but the truth is, Ches is the most natural continuation of pasuk Aleph. Right, Michtam LaDavid, Shamreini Kel, Ki Chasisi Vach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm seeking refuge in you. And then, Shivisi Hashem. So again, not to say that Pesukim Beis through Zion are not important, they are, but in terms of continuing our theme from last week, that David HaMelech is trying to go ahead and reestablish, re-energize, reforge his bond with the Ribono Shel Olam because of the realization of how vulnerable he is, I think Pasuk Ches is a wonderful place to continue. So after David HaMelech recognizes the vulnerability, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samad, I have placed HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me at all times. Ki mimini balemot. When He is at my right hand, I will not falter. Of course, the other reason I wanted to pick this pasuk is because it's a pasuk that speaks to many of us. It's a pasuk that many of us are familiar with for reasons that we'll discuss. But what I'd like to try to understand today is, what is the meaning of this phrase? You know, the other exciting part about Tehillim is we often think that we understand what the words mean, what the pasukim mean, and what David HaMelech is trying to say. But the beauty of Tehillim is that sometimes the most simple words that we think we understand carry with them a profound message that is so life-altering. You just have to take a little bit of time to understand it a little bit more. So that's what we're going to try to do today. What is the meaning of this particular phrase? So, time permitting, we're going to go through about five or six different approaches in understanding this particular idea. So we begin with Rashi in number two. So Rashi says something fascinating. Rashi says, Davar acher shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid. What does it mean that I placed God before me at all times? First of all, what Rashi's pointing out is quite interesting. What's bothering Rashi? Let me explain that question. In order to appreciate any mefarish, in order to appreciate the perish, different commentaries operate different ways. So for example, Rashi is a reactive mefarish, which means that if Rashi says something on the pasuk, what does that mean? It means something bothered him. The style of Rashi is Rashi often doesn't state what his question is. He leaves that to us, the reader, to try to figure out what's bothered. But whenever you see Rashi comment, it means that Rashi was bothered by something in the pasuk. So if you're Rashi, what's bothering you about this pasuk? What's bothering you? Okay, so Hashem is always before a good. What else is bothering you? How can you put HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you? What does that, which is really it's the same idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. The notion of Shivisi Hashem Menegdi Sam, it sounds like I'm taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and whose recorder is this? Okay. I'm taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I'm placing him before me. So what does that mean? You want to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm before HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times, I'm always in the presence of God, that's fine, but what does it mean to place God before me? So therefore Rashi gives a fascinating insight. Rashi says, Sefer Torah Haya Imo, Likros Bo Kol Yemechayov. So says Rashi, Shivisi Hashem, placing God of this pasuk does not refer to God, says Rashi. It actually refers to the Sefer Torah that David HaMelech kept with him at all times. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have kept your Torah. Now Torah, obviously, you can do that with. Because Torah, of course, Torah is an expansive concept, but Torah also refers to the actual scroll in which the Hamishei Chum Shetvar are written. So David HaMelech is saying, I have placed your scroll before me at all times. Kol Yimei Likros Bo Kol Yimei Chayiv, to read from it all the days of his life. V'zeh Sha'amar Mimini Ba'alemot, Al Shem HaTorah Shenitna B'Yemino Shani Osek Ba'ulafichach Balemot. And therefore, when David HaMelech says Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Samid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's nothing to do with you, God. It has to do with your Torah. I have placed your Torah. But again, he's not just talking about Torah in the global sense. He's referring to an actual Sefer Torah. I have kept a Sefer Torah in front of me at all times. Ki mimini balemot. Again, because he is at my right hand. What does the right have to do with Sefer Torah? So Rashi quotes over here that the Torah was given with the right hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, Shani osek ba ulefichach balemot. And because I am constantly engaged in your Torah, I will not falter. So therefore, Rashi understands that the entire pasuk is devoted to the idea that David HaMelech is highlighting, I always kept a physical Sefer Torah with me at all times. Now, what's interesting, yes? So the Medrash brings down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael with his right hand. The right always represents strength. Always represents strength. So that's what Rashi says, Ki mimini, the Torah is at my right, which means the Torah that you gave me with your right, which represents divine importance, always remains at my right, which represents human importance. And because I keep the Torah with me at all times, balemot, I will not falter. So interestingly enough, what is this Sefer Torah referring to? So if we take a look at number three, it's actually interesting. The Torah tells us in Parshas Kiseitse, V'haya kishivto al kisei mamlachto. So remember, the Torah gives us the concept of monarchy. Just as an aside, there is a fascinating dispute as to whether or not monarchy in Judaism is a lechatchila or a bidi'eved, right? Is monarchy something that we aspire to, or is it an accommodation? There's one thing that's for sure, it's going to sound a little bit strange, especially ahead of election day, is that Judaism does not believe in democracy. That's for sure. Judaism either believes in monarchy, or best stated, Judaism believes in a theocracy. Theocracy means that religion governs every part of your life, right? Remember, democracy says everybody has a say. You'll excuse me. Not everybody has a say. It's not true. Whether I think Shabbos should be on Shabbos or Sunday, it doesn't make a difference about what I think. It matters what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So this leads into the whole idea of a monarchy. So ultimately, and this is the whole tension, at the end of Shmuel Aleph, where ultimately Klal Yisrael approaches Shmuel HaNavi, and they want a monarch. And when you read the Pesukim, you feel the hurt of Shmuel HaNavi. And it's not clear, is the hurt because he's hurt? Because he's the leader, and they're telling him they want someone else is the hurt, is the pain that he feels for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'm just pointing out to you, it's a major dispute among the Mefarshim. Is it l'chatchila? Is it something that we aspire to? Or is it accommodation? And the psukim themselves seem to indicate both ways. So the Torah says number three. So when you appoint the monarch, he's going to sit on his throne. The kasov lo es mishnah Torah hazos al sefer milafnei akonim aleviim. And what's the first thing that a king has to do? A king has to write the Sefer Torah. V'haysa imo, the Torah remains with him. V'karabo kol yimei chayov, he'll read from it all the days of his life. L'man yumad liras Hashem Elokecha, in order that he should learn to fear God. Lishmor es kol divrei Torah, hazos, to keep all the words of the Torah, es achukim ha'ele la'asosam. Writes the Sefer Achinuch in number four, an interesting idea. Now the Sefer Achinuch writes, it's a very important introduction in 4 Aleph, Shemitzvah ala melech, Shiyiyah al Yisrael, Lichtov Sefer Torah miyuchad lo, Mitzad hameluchah shetiyah imo tamid viyikrabo. The king has a special mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah for himself that is going to be with him all of his days. Milvad Sefer Torah acher, Shemetzuva alov lichtov kechol echad miyisrael, kimo shenichtov b'mitzah achronah shebesef b'ezras Hashem. So what the Sefer Achinuch points out here is something very important, which is that there's a mitzvah incumbent upon every Jew to write a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Achinuch says, in addition to the general mitzvah that a Jew has to write a Sefer, a king has an additional mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. There's another distinction, that when you have a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, all it means is you have to participate in the writing of a Sefer Torah. Sefer Achinuch even brings down that even today, if you purchase Sfarim, right? If you have Torah Sfarim in your home, that's enough of a keem of writing a Sefer Torah. The difference is one thing for sure, which is when you participate in the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, you have no obligation to take that Torah with you. When the king writes a Sefer Torah, the king has an obligation to write it and to keep it with him. In fact, the Rambam brings down in Hilchos Melachim a fascinating idea. The Rambam writes that the king just didn't write any Sefer Torah, it was a mini Sefer Torah, that according to some, the king actually wore on his person, that he actually went ahead and wore around his neck. It literally stayed with him at all times. Turn, look at 4 bays. So the Sefer Achinuch writes, Mishrashi HaMitzvah. Why does the king have this mitzvah of writing and keeping a Sefer Torah with him? The king, what does it mean, Birshus Atzmo? The king is his own boss, right? The king doesn't have an employer, right? The king doesn't work for anyone. The king doesn't have anyone over him. Lo ya'atziveyu adam al-ma'asav. The problem with the king is, you know, what's the most important thing in life? Most important thing in life. That's a loaded question. It's always interesting how people answer this one. The most important thing in life is to make sure you have someone who can give you mussar. That is the most important thing. Because if you are above reproach, if no one could tell you how it is, you end up going through life and you never know your mistakes, you never know what you have to fix. That's why the most important thing in life is a chaver tov, is a good friend. And a good friend is not someone who always tells you what you want to hear, right? A good friend is not someone who always tells you untruths in order to make you feel good. A good friend is someone who will tell you like it is. And if you mess up, and if you make a mistake, they're going to tell you with love, with compassion, for a desire to see you become better. So it says the Sefer Achinuch, the king has a natural, an inherent problem in the monarchy, which is what? No one really is going to tell the king like it is, right? Because again, that's really a roll of the dice. Now, David HaMelech was a little bit different in this regard, but ultimately, to give the king mussar, to tell him he was wrong, is a very dangerous proposition, especially if you get the king on a bad day. Because remember, there's another halacha by monarchy, which is morid b'malchus. Morid b'malchus means that if you rebel or in any way disparage the monarchy, you are liable to death. So the line between healthy mussar and disparaging is a very narrow one. So chances are, says the Sefer Achinuch, that no one's giving mussar to the king, no one's giving him constructive criticism. So now, take the fact, number one, that no one's really giving the king mussar. Couple that with the fact that the king has enormous power. The king has enormous power. Shevet piv Yaakov, arz Yaakov, arz. So he could strike down the inhabitants of the land. One utterance, he can put someone to death. He sends the people to war. He levies taxes. Al kein be'emes. So what the Sefer HaChinuch is setting up is Al kein be'emes tzorich shmira gidola v'zichron tov yamod negdo yabit elav tamid leman yichbosh es yisro v'yate libo al yitzro. So because of this, the lack of someone to give the king Musar, coupled with the unchecked power, to a certain degree, of the monarchy, it sets the king up, chas v'shalom, for a terrible fall. Because there's no, because the king could then end up going out and doing things that are totally wrong, totally inappropriate, and no one's going to stand up to him and tell him no. Therefore, there must be some kind of mechanism, right, to say for Achinuch, to keep the king in spiritual check. So how do we do that? V'zeu she'omrim zichronon mevracha, yotze le'melchama, v'sefer Torah imo. That's why the Gemara says that if the king goes out to war, his sefer Torah comes with him. Yoshev bedin, he sits down in judgment, Huimo, Sefer Torah is with him. Meisav lechol, he goes to eat. Hu kenegdo, Torah goes with him. Klal hadvarim shelo haya zoz mineged enov ela be'eshu nitzrach l'nekavov o nichnas l'merchatz. Says the Sefer Achinuch, the king kept his Torah with him at all times, except in two places: when he went to the bathroom and when he went to the bathhouse. Barring that, the Sefer Torah was with him at all times. Why, says the Sefer Achinuch? Because ultimately it allows the king to maintain a sense of humility. By keeping the Torah in front of him, by keeping the Torah as an ever-present reminder of the fact that although he is the human monarch, even the human monarch must bow his knee before the celestial monarch, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it reminds the king ultimately to be humble in the face of the Ribono Shel Olam. Because at the end of the day, no one else is going to humble the king other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So plugging this back, what seems to be happening over here according to Rashi, is that David HaMelech is saying, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi somel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to tell you, I kept your Torah with me. Now I always placed, your Torah was, literal, physical Torah, was always in front of my eyes. I never let it out of my sight. L'negdi somed, kimimini, the Torah that you gave with your right hand, demonstrating divine strength, I always kept at my right hand. What does the right hand of the king represent? It represents his strength. So whenever I reached for my strength, I was always reminded of what? Of your strength, and therefore, balemot. That's why I will not falter. I will not falter, I will not make mistakes because I don't get too full of myself. Because I'm reminded of what I am and what I'm not. And how do I accomplish that? Shivisi Hashem l'negdi summit, by nothing to do with placing God, I mean, has to do with placing God, but it's specifically referring to placing the Sefer Torah that David as the king was commanded to write. That's Rashi. Second approach in number 5 is also Rashi. So Rashi says something fascinating. Rashi says, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi somed, b'chol ma'asai, in anything I do, samti mora l'neged einai. I've always placed, you know, we often translate mora as how? Fear. I think I mentioned this before. It can't mean fear. In our Rabbi Yitzhak Berditchev comments, he says, there's a simple reason why you can't translate yira as fear. Because fear is an emotion that drives things apart, right? If I'm fearful of fire, then by definition, there's only so close I'm going to get to the fire. So says Rabbi Levi Yitzchok, if you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition, that pushes me away from my Creator. That's not our goal in life. Our goal in life is to come closer. So therefore, the Rebbe said the way to translate the word yira is reverence, is awe. When you revere something, when you have awe of something, so yes, you might keep a little bit of a distance out of respect, but it's not because I'm afraid. It's not because I'm afraid I'm going to get burnt, I'm going to get hurt. Nothing, no. It's because I respect something, and therefore I revere something. Therefore, by definition, I put it up on a pedestal, which is higher than me. So Rashi says, "B'chol ma'asai sati mara l'neged einai, v'lama." So whatever I did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always kept a feeling of reverence for you in my heart. V'lama, ki miminihu. Tamid la'azreni levalemot. See, interestingly enough, according to the second approach of Rashi, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid literally means God. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I've always kept a divine awareness of you no matter what I do. Why? Ki mimini. Now, interestingly enough, ki mimini, according to Rashi over here, means because you, God, are on my right. Now, why would God be on my right? Rashi says, "La'azreni," in order to help me levalemot, in order that I not falter. So again, before we explain it, let's just read it once more according to Rashi. I've always kept focus on you. I've always kept my feelings of awe and reverence front and center. Because you, God, are always on my right. Why are you always on my right? Bal emot. In order to prevent me from faltering. In order to prevent me from falling. So according to Rashi, what is Rashi highlighting over here? And I think this is an incredible yisod. What David HaMelech is highlighting is, and it's going to sound so simple, but it's so I think it's so profound, Rashi's saying, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be successful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to succeed. You know, sometimes in life, we have the erroneous mindset. And it's, the truth is, it's really a carryover from Christian theology. It's not Jewish theology. Which is this idea of a God who's looking to get you. This idea of a God who's looking to foil your plans. This idea of a God who is just going to try to pull out the rug from under you whenever you're about. And the truth is, sometimes in life, we do feel this way. Because sometimes you feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, for whatever reason, sabotaging what we want to accomplish. We can't understand it. What David HaMelech is trying to say is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know one thing for sure, which is, you want me to be successful. Now, of course, again, there's a caveat to that, which is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be successful in the things that we should be doing. Sometimes, you know, the great mystery in life is that sometimes in life when you try to accomplish something and it doesn't come to fruition, it can mean one of two things. Either A... That's not A, that's B, right? A is try harder. Try harder. Try harder. That just because something doesn't, you know, we mentioned this, I think, in the last year. You know, we have this idea that everything's supposed to be easy. That everything's supposed to, now, this was our last year. Everything's supposed to just fall into place. It's not true. It's not true. So sometimes when things that are good don't materialize, it's a sign from Shemayim, try harder. Or maybe try differently. Take a different approach. But sometimes it actually means, don't do it. Sometimes it means it's not the right thing. And of course, this is the ultimate struggle in life. Knowing when does resistance mean try harder, and when does resistance mean try something different. There's no answer to that. Those are the most grueling decisions that we must make in life. But what Rashi is saying over here is the following, is never forget, you'll excuse this expression, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our greatest cheerleader. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who wants us to be more successful than anyone else in life. And sometimes we forget about that idea, especially when we run into repeated failure. So David HaMelech, now remember, now you have to appreciate the profundity of this pasuk, because in the Pesuk, really, Aleph through Ches, David HaMelech is speaking about all the difficulties and struggles in life. And despite all of the struggles, what does David HaMelech say? Shivisi Hashem l'negdi sem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will always keep you front and center in my existence. You know why? Me. Because I believe you are right here on my right side, helping me. I believe that you, more than anyone else in this world, wants me to be successful. Balemot. Because were it not for the fact that you wanted me to be successful, I would have faltered. I would have never accomplished the things that I accomplished until now. Now you also have to appreciate, coming from David HaMelech, this is a major thing. Because David HaMelech is surrounded by people who want him to fail. Right? I'm assuming we've all been in situations in life, and it's some of the most disconcerting situations, where people around us sometimes don't want us to succeed. And the truth is, there's no worse feeling in life than know that someone else is actually waiting for you to fall on your face and fail. David HaMelech doesn't have one person like that. David HaMelech has just a commercial for just a moment. Great people become great when they're dead. Right? Great people are treated like garbage when they're alive, and then when they're dead, suddenly, oh, such a tzaddik. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was treated like garbage by Klal Yisrael. When he dies, everybody cries. David HaMelech, the father of the Messianic line, was so terribly mistreated by our grandparents that it's embarrassing to even speak. Now we say David HaMelech, we have to catch our breath after we say it because it's so overwhelmed by just the Kedusha of saying his name. But David HaMelech is surrounded by people who want him to fail. They want him, and they wanted to fulfill for a variety of reasons. Some could not respect him after the episode with Bathsheba, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstratively forgave him. Others didn't respect him because they didn't think he was a legitimate monarch. People always have good reasons for disliking someone else. So David HaMelech is surrounded by people, multitudes of people, who want him to fail, who want him to fall on his face. And David HaMelech says, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because the most important entity wants me to succeed. Shivisi Hashem Menegdi Samna Kodesh Baruch Hu. We are so often surrounded by people who want us to fail, for whatever the reason, who want us to fall on our face. But you know what? Me. The most important person, so to speak, is always on my right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants me to succeed. Balamot. And the truth is, it doesn't really matter what other people want. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind me and wants me to succeed, then Balamot, I know I will not falter. That's the second approach of Rashi. Third approach is the Radak. Number 6. So Radak writes the following. Shivisi Hashem Menegdi Samid. So the Radak here goes with a more expansive idea. The Radak writes, "Bichol drachai eskerenu. Whatever I do, I will remember God. Kedavar shuneged ha'adam summit. I will make God just like something else that is constantly opposite man. Shelo yasur me'enav umilibo. My eyes and my heart will never be distracted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kein santi kvot hakel tamid l'negdi. I have placed the honor of God before me at all times. Ki odea ani ki hu mimini ubezrasi. I know he's on my right and he's helping me. L'fichach lo emot." So what is the Radak highlighting over here? The Radak is saying, and I think that the real essence of the Radak is in these first three words. Bechol drachai eskerenu. You know what Shivisi Hashem l'negdi summon means? That whatever I do in life, there has to be some form of Avodas Hashem. There is no such thing in life as something that doesn't fall under the umbrella of service of God. And guess what? If it does, if it falls outside of that umbrella, then what? Then don't do it. Now, I want to be clear on this, because we often misunderstand this idea. That, what does this mean? That I'm supposed to be doing mitzvahs and chasadim and learning Torah all the time without stop? I guess I should answer that as yes. But I can't tell you to do something. I don't think any of us are capable of doing that. What does it mean? It's talking about, you know, the gestalt. Like, what is the essence of an individual? Why do we do the things that we do in life? You know, the Stipler Gaon mentioned, Stipler Gaon says, that you know why a person buys a home? Why does a person buy a home? The Stipler said, because a person needs somewhere to put their mezuzah. Right? Where else are you going? Now, the Stipler wasn't saying that as a joke. The Stipler was saying that, what is your kivun? What is your direction? What is it that you hope to accomplish in life? So what the Radak is saying, what David HaMelech is saying is, for the Jew, everything I do somehow has to be a service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So literally, I buy a home, and you could buy the most magnificent, beautiful home you want. The shaila is, what are you going to do with it? See, if it's going to be a makom Torah, wonderful. If it's going to be a place of hachnasas orchim, wonderful. If it's going to be a place that will somehow serve the Jewish people, or at least your community, or your friends, or your family, as long as there's a kadosh purpose for it, you're accomplished. In person, everybody needs time to relax. You know, Sisei Chacham brings down that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shabbos, the world until Shabbos was in perpetual motion. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the concept of Shabbos, he introduced the notion of rest into the world. So Sisei Chama writes, and it's an amazing idea, he says, how is it that sometimes we're working, and we feel, you know what, I just need to take a break. I just need to relax. I need a vacation. So Sisei Chama says, that comes from the infusion of Shabbos into this world. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a pause for the creative process of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued us with that same idea as well. So a person is permitted to, of course, engage in relaxation, vacation, downtime. The question is, why are you doing it? If you're doing it to re-energize yourself, to be able to go ahead and become a better person, do more good, do more mitzvos, do more chasadim, then the downtime, the vacation, the relaxation itself becomes kadosh. Everything in life must somehow be directed to the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says the Radak, that's what David HaMelech is saying. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid, Bechol Derachai Eskerenu. Whatever it is I am doing, big or small, I am able to show that in some way, some more direct, some a little bit more indirect, but anything and everything I do is somehow related to my ability, bless you, to properly serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if I can't make that link, if a particular action or activity in no way allows me to become a better Ovid Hashem, or in no way somehow links to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and David HaMelech says, I cease and desist. I don't do it. The job of the Jew is to ensure that anything and everything we do in life, somehow, some more times more direct, sometimes more indirect, is linked to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Radak. Approach number four, the Metzudas David. The Metzudas David probably is the most well-known approach. So the Metzudas David number 7 says the following. Shivisi Hashem, what does it mean that I placed God before me at all times? Tamid Echshov, Ki'ilu Hashem, Omed Negdi, Viroa Ma'asai. Says the Metzudas David, what does it mean, Shivisi Hashem, Negdi Samid? So again, the Metzudas David also deals with the idea, the problem that Rashi has, of what does it mean to place God before me. So therefore, the Metzudas David means, what it means to say is, that I view as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always standing opposite me, and sees all of my actions. I just want to point out, his wording is, David HaMelech's wording is interesting according to Metzudas David, right? That it doesn't say that I view myself as always before God, but rather, what does it say? I view it as if God, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi, God is always opposite me. Why does David HaMelech say it like that? Because if you were to say it, that I'm opposite, if I view myself as always opposite God, that leaves open the possibility of what? Right? Of leaving God's presence. Right? If I make it about where I am going, then potentially I could decide one day not to be there. When it's Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi, now that I'm going in a place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me, what it means is, no matter what I am or not doing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees. One more time, Tamid Echshov, I will constantly view it in my mind, Ki'ilu Hashem Omed Negdi, as if God is standing opposite me, V'roa Ma'asai, and sees every single thing that I do. Which of course is interesting, because if you look at number 8, we're gonna go more into this in just a little bit, but for now I'll just show with you this little piece. So this is from the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Remember, the Shulchan Aruch was written by Rav Yosef Karo, right? The Mechaber, a Sephardic Jew, and it was primarily based on the rulings of the Rambam, right? Which was also accepted as codified halacha by the majority of Sephardic Jewry. Moshe Isserles, the Ramah, comes along in the 1600s in Krakow, Poland, takes the Shulchan Aruch and says, you know, Zelofer, the Ashkenazim, we need something also. So what he does is like this. In most areas of halacha, Sephardim and Ashkenazim really agree. In the areas where there's a little bit of a departure, of a difference, the Ramah adds in Ashkenazic footnotes. Those Ashkenazic footnotes are called the Hagah. Hagah is a note. He puts an Ashkenazic footnote where Ashkenazic practice differs. So in the first, we'll see what the Mechaber says in the opening statement of Shulchan Aruch. But the opening statement of the Ramah in number 8 is the following. Hagah, look what he quotes. This is the opening line of Shulchan Aruch. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. The Ramah begins with one statement from Telem. I have placed HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me at all times. Hu klal godol batorah uva ma'alos ha-tzadikim. This is a very important principle in the Torah, and among ma'alos ha-tzadikim, among the traits of the righteous, asher holchem lifnei Elokim, that walk before God. Now, that's the end of the Ramah statement. After this, he quotes from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. So the Rambam writes, Ki ein yeshiva asa adam utnu osav va'asakav v'hu levado beveso, ki yeshiva asa utnu osav va'asakav lefnei v'hu levnei melech gadol. Because the Rambam writes that you can't compare a yeshiva asa adam, the way a person literally sits, or his actions, or his dealings when he's alone in the house, compared with his actions, his sitting, his actions, and his dealings when he's sitting before the king. Similarly, the speech of a person, kirtsono, boom anshe besukrovav, people speak a certain way when they're in their own home and among friends and relatives, kidiburo b'moshev hamelech, as the way you will speak and conduct yourself when you are in the presence of the king. Kol shekein, kishayasim ha'adam el libo, shamelech ha'god la'kadosh baruch hu. All the more so that we're not just talking about any king, but we're talking about the ribono shel olam, asher melo kol ha'aretz kivodo. The entire world is filled with his presence. Omed alav v'rab ma'asav. God stands above me and sees all of my actions. Kimoshe ne'emar, im yisoser ish b'misterim. If a person hides away himself in a hiding place, va'ani lo ra'enenu Hashem, will I not see him? Miyad yagia elov hayira va'achna b'pachat Hashem yisbarach uboshto mimenu. When a person contemplates this, writes the Rambam, a person will feel a sense of reverence, a sense of humility. The Rambam says, pachat, fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and humiliation, or we call it humility, in front of him at all times. So the Rama and the Rambam are essentially echoing this same sentiment of the Mitzudas David, that Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit means what? God awareness. God awareness, that a person has to live life realizing that he or she is always in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. So whatever I do, whatever I say, however I act, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a front row seat to every single moment of my life. So just know that whatever I do, whatever you don't do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there watching. Okay? And says the Rambam, if a person lives life in this sense, it's actually interesting. The Balatanya writes, he says, what's the definition of a tzaddik? This is always an interesting question. What makes a tzaddik a tzaddik? So the Balatanya says, well, many people think it's the amount of Torah you learn. Says the Balatanya, that's not it. Other people think that it's the amount, number of mitzvos you do. That's not it. Says the Balatanya, you know what makes a tzaddik is a person who has constant God awareness. A person who lives life constantly aware of the ever-presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, that's a tzaddik. And the truth is, it makes a lot of sense. Because, think about it, if we lived life in this way of always being mindful of the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam right in front of me, no matter what I'm doing, we would lead dramatically different lives. Rav Soloveitchik points out, he says, the only reason why people sin is why? Why? Because the Rav writes, we have a lapse in God awareness. Because there's no way I would commit an avera if I realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting right here. Even forget about belief for just a moment. Even just because in general, the same way that I would make sure the way we talk, what we do, what we say when we're in front of people who we respect. So, says the Rav, the only reason we sin is because we have a lapse in God awareness. Right? The Balatanya, what makes a tzaddik, is a constant awareness of the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what the Rambam is writing over here. That's what the Rambam is writing over here. That's what the Mitzvah Dov says. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I always keep you in mind. I know that you're watching every single thing that I do, and therefore what? Ki mimini balemot. I know you are right here by my right side. I'm a lefty. I know you're right here. I know that you're constantly with me. Balamot. And because I know that you're always with me, that's why I don't falter. Now, of course, David HaMelech did falter, right? But that's okay, because we all falter. Balamot doesn't mean I'll never falter, but Balamot is an approach to life. I'm going to try my best, knowing that you are with me, that I will not falter. And you know what? If I do falter, I'll get right back up, because I realize that you're here right next to me. You could combine it with the previous approaches as well. You want me to be successful. You want me to accomplish. But that's the point. God awareness. Keep in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever present. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching. And it causes us to lead a different kind of life. Take a look at the next approach. Approach, yes. I try to always abstain from answering questions that require some degree of prophecy. So, you know, I don't know. In general, it's hard to know what's a punishment, what's not a punishment, what is a direct result of a particular action. The way we're supposed to approach life is, when something negative happens, I'm always supposed to look for the musr in it, right? Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, maybe what happened is a result of something I did, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's a punishment, or maybe it's a... Who knows? Who knows? But the idea is that I would frame it a little bit differently. That I don't know how to answer it in terms of punishment, because what a person does with negative activities, the job of a Jew is to go ahead, using the other term of David HaMelech, is keli keli. The Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out. He says that people often read it, keli keli lama azavtani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why have you forsaken me? Right? What David HaMelech is asking, why are you causing all these bad things to happen to me? So the Rav said that there's no way David HaMelech said that, because that's the age-old question. We never understand fully why HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us suffer. So therefore the Rav said the way you're supposed to articulate or enunciate those words is keli keli lama azavtani. What do you want me to do with this situation? Now that I'm in it, what should I do? But I would tell you that there's no question that part of the tshuva process, remember that Rambam brings down Hilchos Tshuva, is charata, is remorse. Now, the Rav also points out that sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes in life we don't have remorse for our sins. Sometimes we don't feel bad. We don't feel bad. I know that I shouldn't do it, but I don't necessarily feel bad about it. But I think what this does is this engenders a sense of remorse. Because if I realize that when I commit an Aveira, it's not just that I violated the will of God, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there and watched me do it. The only thing more disappointing in letting someone you love down is knowing that they saw you actually do it. And I think in the Rambam's model of tshuva, the reason why it begins with charata, that's the first step. It's not just that I've sinned. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right here, right on my right when I did it, and he saw me do it. How can I let him down after everything that he does for me? I know it doesn't totally answer your question, but... All right, so we'll take a look at number 9. Approach number 5. Yes?
I have two questions, one from the beginning and one in the actual language. But negdi tamid seems to me that it has other ramifications other than just the word in front of me. But I wonder why, if it was bedafli using the term negev, that has another... Does anybody speak about that instead of
I hear what you're saying, right, that it could also be almost in an oppositional fashion. It's interesting. I didn't think about that. I was trying to be more upbeat this year, but that is an interesting point. I didn't see anyone who commented on that, but certainly I'll look into that more. I think, though, the difference between negdi and lefanai is also different. Lefanai means in front of me. It doesn't have to mean that I see you. It just means that you're in front of me. Negdi means something right opposite me that I cannot avoid seeing. So that's why I answered, but I'll look into it. It's an interesting point. Right? Is there some element of David HaMelech saying that's me carrying over on the previous motif that sometimes I feel that you're a little bit negdi? That's interesting. Okay?
Exactly.
Right?
I feel like there's ever any usage of a word that doesn't have some sort
right.
of
identification. Right.
So
it's an interesting point.
The other question I have is the first approach that we discussed about the idea of the Melech always carrying the sacred Torah. And wondering two things. One, if in this world the way things seem to play out is that when something becomes so familiar, we start to not notice it so much. And here, the Torah, for us, we get to see it, when we take it out to lean in it and how
right.
special it's put in the arrow, and, it helps such kedusha for us. What would it be? Is it because the mouth is just on a higher level that he could really carry it with him and it would have ramifications for him?
That's clearly the expectation.
And therefore
it
played out that way?
No, of course not. Because again, remember, I think there's a simple reason why. I think that there are certain things that don't lose their potency. I think the notion of carrying a Sefer Torah, and maybe it's just because sounds just so dramatic to me, but I think the notion of carrying a Sefer Torah is something that does not change day to day. I think the importance of that, the Kiddusha, that is something that stays with the individual every single day, especially the king. And when the king realizes that this is his, again, all of these things only work with someone who's interested in it. We had plenty of kings, unfortunately, who had no interest in God, no interest in Sifrei Torah. You could have given them 50 Sifrei Torah, it would have made a difference. But for the king who's interested in maintaining his subservience to the Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly felt that keeping a Sifrei Torah with him would keep him in check. Especially when the king knows that this is the only thing that's standing between me and unbridled arrogance. Unbridled arrogance, right? If I don't take this seriously, there's no one else to stop me from corrupting myself, from corrupting the kingdom. I think when you put that together, it would appear, at least from the eyes of the Torah, that that should be enough of a potent daily reminder. All right, yes. Right. Bad. Right. It could be. It could be. All right. Take a look at number 9. Another approach. Another approach. Rav Hirsch goes in a totally different direction. Rav Hirsch writes, Shivisi. Rav Hirsch writes, Shav. Now remember, as you've seen already, anytime we learn Rav Hirsch, and this is true of Rav Hirsch on Chumash or Rav Hirsch on Tehillim, Rav Hirsch is very into etymologies. Very into etymologies. So he says, Shivisi, what does Shivisi mean? So we've been translating it, the truth is, as always placing. But Rav Hirsch says that's not really what it means. Shivisi, shove, to be even. Shove, to smooth out, to even out. Shove, pinia, is a level, is to level an expanse of soil, to remove all unevenness from it. So therefore, the first thing Rav Hirsch says is, Shivisi Hashem does not mean to place God before me. What does it mean? Shivisi means, excuse me, to level out. So somehow, I'm leveling out God before me. What does that mean? There are those who labor under the delusion that God must be conceived of as someone who towers far above earthly affairs and who thinks all things terrestrial to be far below him. But as for me, says David, my conception of him is very different. I have perceived his presence on the level of my own earthly experience. I no longer seek him in the heights. I've set him before my eyes in everything I do on earth. Nothing here below is too small or insignificant that God would be indifferent to it. Whatever I am, whatever I wish to accomplish, lies clearly before his eyes. I shall hold fast to this conviction tamid forever, and shall never again allow myself to succumb to even one moment of weakness. Ki mimini balemot, I have now recognized God as being yimini, my right hand which supports me. I shall never again forsake him, or let myself be moved to waver in my faith. So Rav Hirsch says something dramatically amazing. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi sum. Remember, this goes back to what we learned last week. Rav Hirsch understands this entire capital to be referring to a spiritual struggle that David HaMelech is having in understanding the role of God in his life. So David HaMelech went through this period of time where he thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not really so involved in what goes on over here, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has retreated to the celestial sphere. David HaMelech realizes his error and says, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi somid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have placed you Shivisi, Shava. Shava means what? On level ground, on equal ground. You're not here, you're here. Now, of course, God's here also. God's everywhere. But the idea that David HaMelech is saying is now I realize that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are Shava. You are firmly embedded in anything and everything that goes on in my life. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi. Anything that happens in my life, big or small, you are Shava. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are actively and intimately engaged in that. Ki mimini balemot. Literally, not just Shava, you are literally right here next to me. You're literally standing and embedded in every aspect of my life. Balemot, I will never again forsake you. I will never again think that you are not firmly embedded in even the smallest details of my existence. Now this, you have to realize, is a theological double-edged sword. Because on one hand, to a certain degree, it's easier to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Because then, when things don't go right, or more dramatically, when things go terribly wrong, I don't necessarily have to get upset at the Ribono Shel Olam. I don't have to wonder how God allowed this to occur. But once you bring the Shava, once you say Shivisi Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are intimately involved in anything and everything that goes on in my life, that of course on one hand is beautiful and wonderful, But it does create certain theological complexities when things in my life don't go right, or at least in my understanding. And now I must accept the fact that what? That's also the Ratzon HaBorei. That's also the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I just want to point out what this doesn't mean. What this doesn't mean, Sefer HaChinuch gives an interesting mashal. He says that if a person is walking along a path, and there are thorn bushes on the side of the path, and I walk too close, Sefer HaChinuch, I walk too close to the thorn bush, and I get scraped by the thorn bush. Was that the Ratzon HaBorei? Was that the will of God? So the truth is, it happens to be a big theological debate. The Sefer HaChinuch says, no, you're just not careful. You're just not careful. You didn't look where you were going. So one always has to be careful, because the truth is, I want to just say the danger in this mindset. The danger in this mindset of thinking that Shevisi Hashem and Agdisa means it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is sometimes people abdicate personal responsibility. Personal responsibility means you have responsibility for your life. Don't walk close to thorn bushes. Don't drive too close to the car right in front of you. Right? Make sure that you have life insurance. Make sure that you take care of all the necessary needs within your existence. Because, yes, the world is set up to work in a certain way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows those dynamics. So if you go ahead and you walk close to the thorn bush, it doesn't make a difference if you are Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you walk close to a thorn bush, what is going to happen? You're going to get caught. And not because the Ribbono Shel Olam actively willed that, or not because... Now again, whether or not you could look at that as some type of Yisurin, it's a more complicated discussion. But the idea is it's a lack of personal vigilance. So the point that David HaMelech is making, the point that Rav Hirsch is saying, is not saying that therefore a person abdicates all responsibility because whatever it is, it's the will of God. But David HaMelech had, for whatever reason, this misunderstanding for a certain point in his life. I just want to point out, just the amazing part is both David and Shlomo, both father and son, had periods of spiritual disillusionment, had periods where they struggled with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're familiar with the story with Shlomo and Ashmedai? Okay, we're not going to do it now. But there's another story with Shlomo and Ashmedai. Ashmedai is the king of demons, where the Maharal understands that the whole thing is a metaphor for Shlomo and Melech's spiritual struggles. I'm just pointing this out because even great people struggle with God. We think that we're supposed to be perfect in our emunah. We think that we're supposed to be perfect and not have any questions, that they're not supposed to wonder what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, or why HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to question. The mark of a great person is they find a way to come out of it. If you lack greatness, you spend your life wallowing in the struggle. You spend your life getting consumed by the questions. Great people struggle just as much. Great people struggle even more. They just find a way to navigate a way out of the struggle, even though they can't answer all of the questions. So David HaMelech is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I struggled with your role in this universe, and I thought that you were not interested and not involved in what happens here. And I realized I was wrong. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somit. Shoveh. It's all equal. What goes on up there, what goes on down here, you and I, God, are on eye level. Because you are firmly embedded, and bless you, in all of the details and all of the happenings of my life. Me, so involved that you're literally right here on my right. Balemot. And I will never again falter with this mindset. I will never again erroneously think that you are not HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved in what goes on in this world. And this leads us to our last approach. Number 10. Yes. Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. I don't really understand that other camp other than the Sefer HaChinuch would hold that scratching the thorn bush is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you take that approach, then it takes away all personal responsibility or all individual autonomy. So I don't personally understand it. I'm just, for the sake of full disclosure, telling you that it exists. So take a look at number 10, the Malbim. Last approach, our sixth approach for this morning, our last approach. And I just want to point out, as I always tell you, the approaches are not mutually exclusive. It's the beauty of Sefer Tehillim, but it's not just Sefer Tehillim, it's Torah. When we say Shivan Panim LaTorah, it means that the beauty of Torah in general, and I think specifically, and Tehillim also, is that no matter what's going on in your life, there's something there to help you. So we see six different approaches that really are six very different approaches. But yet again, each of them speak to us in different ways, in different times, help us in different fashions. So in number 10, the Malbim comes along and says something amazing. I saved the most dramatic for last. So the Malbim writes, number 10, Shivisi, Shivisi, Va'al Yidei Eitzos HaTorah, v'hargashas hamusar shevisi es Hashem lenegdi. So the Malbim, like Rav Hirsch, both Rav Hirsch and the Malbim, the common denominator is they're both looking for a more accurate definition of the word shevisi, because although everyone else is translating it as placed, that's not really the etymology of the word. So Rav Hirsch therefore says it means to level out. The Malbim says like this. Rotze lomar, shahagam shetavos haguf vechamdosav yisisenu lintos me'acharei Hashem. We all experience pushes and pulls, right? Physical wants and physical desires and material desires that sometimes lead us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani mashve es Hashem lenegdi. So says the Malbim, you know what I'm going to do? You know what shivisi mashve means? Mashve means to compare things to one another. Compare things. Shove it. Like if two things are... Shove means what? Shove means equal. You could only establish that two things are equal how? If you compare, if you measure them one against the other. So says the Malbim, shivisi here means compare. Shivisi here means to measure one thing against another. What am I comparing, says the Malbim? Ani mashva es Hashem lenegdi. Ki pekuda es Hashem umetzosav. Heim omdos neged ta'avos gufi. Veheim mitzavos es ha'hefach ma'asheni rotze. Mitzad gufi v'yitzri. V'shivisi erech shneihem ze mul ze. So says the Malbim something amazing. David HaMelech says like this. Shivisi, you know what I've done in life? I've put everything on the table. Right? I've put the Torah and the mitzvos on one side, and I've put just living life according to my desires and my wants on the other side. And I'm going to compare them one to the other and decide which lifestyle, what approach am I going to take to existence? V'shivisi erech shneihem zeh mul zeh. I measure them against the other. Shebevadai ro'oi shebatol ritzoni v'tavosi m'nei Hashem u'mitzosav. So amazingly enough, says the Malbim, and you could read the rest on your own just because of time. I'm going to say the rest outside. So the Malbim says like this. It's amazing. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to know that I've measured my options. Shivisi. I've measured my options. And I know what my options are. I can have a life of Torah mitzvos, or I could choose a life that's not bound by the confines or strictures of what you tell me to do. Right? We have personal autonomy. We could do whatever. Every decision we make has consequences. But it's up to me to decide what I want to do in my life. Do I want to follow Torah mitzvos? Do I want to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or do I look to be my own boss and do what I want? And David HaMelech says, Shivisi. I have to tell you, I put it all on the scales. And you know what I decided? Hashem lenegdi summit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have actively chosen you. Mimini, I have chosen to keep you on my right. Balemot. And I will never falter from that decision. Or in other words, what's happening over here? You know what David HaMelech is saying? And this is so profound. David HaMelech is saying is that too often, our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam is by default. What does that mean? Look, if a person was raised in a Torah home, it's what I have, right? It's my Mesorah, it's what my parents did, it's what my grandparents did. It's what I know. It's comfortable, I'm used to it, it's very nice, it's very wonderful. But it's not like I made an active decision. This is what I have. This is what I have. For some people, it's fear of punishment that ultimately keeps them in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what David HaMelech teaches us is such a profound yisod. One will never have a meaningful, passionate and holy relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if it's a default relationship. A person has to make the active choice. I'm here, not because I have to. Not even because I'm too guilty to do something. I'm here because I want to do this. You know, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Rive Havdalos. By the Amish, they have this concept. By the Amish, they have this idea. I don't remember what age it is, but there's a certain age where you have, they use some German word for, what is it? 16, 17, where they have like a year off from Amishkeit, right? For a year, you don't have to be Amish. And you could do whatever you want. You could do whatever you want. And the truth is, if you choose to leave the Amish, it's your prerogative, it's okay, you can go on and leave. But there's incredible godless, and there are incredible holes with that also. But what are they trying to say? They're trying to forge adults who are in it because they want to be in it. Because ein adom es someone who serves the Ribono Shel Olam because you want to, versus someone who just does it because of a whole variety of other reasons. Now, again, this is not to say that a person should wait to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu until they want to. We have a kinds of Shelo Lishma, Balishma. We have a kinds of behavioral conditioning. The idea is keep doing it over and over and over, and you will feel the desire to want it. But in the optimal relationship model, what David HaMelech is describing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I just want you to know, I'm not here in this relationship because I have to. I'm not here. I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. I'm not here because I'm scared of you. I'm here because I want to be in this relationship. I've weighed all of the options. And I'm here out of a desire. Yeah.
But David could say, Hashem, I'm choosing to go away, but I know that you're going to hit me if I do. I mean, Hashem.
That's not true, by the way. How do you know what God's going to do, what God's not going to do? You don't know what God's going to do, what's not going to do. There are a lot of people who believe in God but still do whatever they want. I don't know what that means about their belief in God. That's a separate issue. But the point that David HaMelech is making is a person has autonomy. I want to tell you where this is exceptionally important. This is exceptionally important in Chinuch. It's not enough for a parent to convey law to a child. It's not enough to say, this is what we do, this is how we do it. The best way to be mechanech your child, to give proper tutelage, Judaic tutelage, is to show your child that you do what you do because you love it. Not because, don't krechts. Don't ever talk about how expensive yeshiva tuition is at the Shabbos table. And don't talk about how the shul just raised dues, right? And don't talk about how this and that, all the different challenges we have as being observant Jews, because then your children are going to wonder, well, why are you doing it? If it's so difficult, if it's so terrible, if it's so draining, then what are you doing? What David HaMelech is saying is, the greatest way to inspire the next generation is to show them we do it because we love it. Of course, there are many things in life that you love that have struggles associated, that have work associated with it. But that's what David HaMelech is saying. Do you want to know how I became great in my religious identity, says David HaMelech? Because I did what I did after making a conscious decision to do it. Shivisi. I've weighed all of the options, but I've chosen Hashem LeNegdi Summit. Mimini. I'm not doing it by default. I'm not doing it out of fear. I'm not doing it because I don't want to get patched. I'm doing it, why? Because I love you, and ultimately I want to be in this relationship. Now let me just finish off with this because we're already over time. But this also helps us understand the opening line in Shulchan Aruch. Look at number 11. Remember how I told you before that the Ramah is the comment on the Shulchan, he's the gloss, he's the footnote on the Shulchan Aruch. How does the Mechaber begin? His what's the first thing he says in Shulchan Aruch? Number 11, Yisgaber Ka'ari La'amod Baboker La'avodos Boro. The first thing the Mechaber says, and this is probably one of the hardest halachos, right? The Mechaber was vehemently against the snooze button. He says, there's no such thing. A Jew has the snooze button removed from his or her alarm. Because when the Jew gets up in the morning, you get up in the morning like a lion. You get up in the morning like a lion, a roaring lion. You recognize there's a new day in front of you, new challenges, new opportunities, there's no more time to sleep. Yisgaber ka'ari la'amod baboker la'avodos boro. Get up like a lion in the morning, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehehu Ma'or HaShachar. Don't let the dawn awaken you, you awaken the dawn. Comes along number 12, the Ramah says the following. This is where the Ramah adds in and he says, Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Summit. Shivisi Hashem, I place the HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me at all times. Hu Klal Gadol, this is what I quoted to you before. Hu Klal Gadol B'Torah, this is a great principle in the Torah. Uva Ma'alos HaTzadikim, Asher Hochil Mefnei Elokim. So what's interesting is that normally when the Ramah makes a note, when he adds in a footnote, it's usually because he's coming to clarify, add, or disagree with something the Mechaber said. So what is the Ramah doing over here? And I think that there is a fundamental dispute unfolding over here. The Mechaber says that, okay, I'm going to tell you what you have to do. The first thing you have to do in the morning is get up like a lion. Says the Ramah, 1 second. Before you tell people what they have to do, or how they have to do it, the first thing you have to tell people is, you need to make a decision in life. And you need to decide, are you going to be present in the relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam? Or is it going to be, let me say it differently, is it going to be passionate, or is it going to be platonic? And that's up to you. That's the first job. That's the first decision that a Jew has to make. So before we go ahead and discuss how you're supposed to get up in the morning, right? Because that's halacha, that's details. Let's first discuss if you are choosing to enter into a meaningful, passionate relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's why he quotes this pasuk: Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid Hukla Godo BaTorah Malos HaTzadikim. Like the Malbim said, what does it mean? Shivisi Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to weigh my options. I want to make an informed decision. I'm going to weigh all of my options. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to know, after weighing all of my options, I've chosen you. Not by default, not because it's what's comfortable, not because it's what I know, but I've actively chosen you because I believe that a relationship with you will make my life more profoundly meaningful. The Rama says it's only after you make that decision, then what? Then you could get into Yiska Berkari. After you decide to enter into a relationship in a meaningful fashion, then we could speak about all of the details. Then the details become meaningful. Because only once I've decided to enter into the relationship, not by default, but through actively deciding, I've weighed my options, I've decided, then the details become meaningful. Because then the details show me how to accomplish that which I've already chosen to embark on. But to do the details without first making the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi decision ultimately just leads to behavioral Judaism, which is a series of actions without real meaning and without real passion. So whichever approach one chooses to take from today's shir, what comes out is something amazing. David HaMelech teaches us, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, whether it means to keep the Torah with us at all times, just like the king did, whether it means recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants me to be successful and is always cheering me on my right side, whether it means that I have to live my life recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always sees everything that I'm doing, and that should frame my life actions, my speech, in a different fashion, whether it means, like Rav Hirsch said, that God is not up there, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intimately involved in everything that goes on in my life, or whether it's like the Malbim, that ultimately meaningful relationship with God is not a default relationship. It's making an active choice to decide to be present in the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once I make that decision, then all of the beautiful details of Torah, mitzvos, and halacha serve really as the enablers to bring that desire to fruition. All right, we'll stop over here.